Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Devin Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction Tribe? We're live in Studio AOC with superstars all around here. And the main message we're going to convey about to you, Tribe, is that whether you like it or not, electrification of buildings is happening, and it is currently a major trend in the industry. It's not going away. The press likes to cover the push towards EV charging stations, electric ranges, and electric water heaters. However, the big emphasis will be the change to heat pump HVAC systems. I raise my hand and say, I'm still doing most of this stuff traditionally, and I think a lot of us are. Any heat pump pessimist should study its coefficient of performance, or COP. We like our acronyms in this industry. Helping building owners get more bang for their buck. So how is this going to benefit you? Increased regulation over utilities, equipment, and efficiency standards will require more review from third-party organizations. And that's what we're going to niche in today. The demand for effective engineers will increase. Experts in design and service like Reno James will be even more necessary for architects and builders trying to cut through all the red tape to provide accurate engineered drawings that fits every client's unique project. And so with that said, I'm excited to hit on and have a conversation around the news where there's a lot of people freaking out about taping themselves in front of their gas stove because that's going to change the world. In my perspective, the thought of banning gas stoves caused a political firestorm. But underneath this chaos is a true effort to move away from gas and towards all electric buildings. Why should we electrify our buildings? And how will it work? Let's talk with a boutique commercial engineering firm right here in Denver on the future of heating and cooling without the use of gas. So without further ado, we get to talk with Dan King, the owner of Reno James Engineering. Lock and load, Tribe. Welcome, Dan. What's your favorite beverage?
Well, Devin, I've always been a beer drinker, but are you familiar with crowlers?
Crowlers?
Yeah. It's, you have a glass bottle for like a growler, and a crowler is, big can of beer that comes from, a local brewery. Yeah. So, I think it's, you get a man-sized portion of a very good beer, and it's something we've had around the office. We gave it out as Christmas presents this year. So yeah, crowlers are my drink of choice these days.
There you go. I love it when you're actually talking about more of the medium, because people always joke around. We were actually in the master facilitators group, and the presenter talked about, well, what's your favorite podcast? And he goes, haha, the next one. Because when everyone always says, what's your favorite? I always say bourbon, the next one. But I kind of like because I'm a big growler fan. I actually collected them from all over.
This is a little
places.
Bit, the size of a growler.
Yeah. My grandfather used to say, all beers are good beers. Some just a little better than others. But the beverage of choice is a crowler. I love it. What's a favorite place you've traveled?
Oh, well, my favorite place that I like to go to, I live in Golden, Colorado, and I live right next to North Table Mountain. It's a place I go on, pretty much a couple times a week. It's, more of a butte than a mountain, but great for hiking, mountain biking in the summer and so forth.
Awesome. And what do you like to do outside of engineering work, where we're going to get into talking about that? What do you do outside of the construction arena that we passionately call the art of construction?
Oh, shoot. I've got a family, 8 and 11-year-old, a son and a daughter, son Reno, a daughter Annie. And we do the typical outdoor family things, camping and skiing and so forth. But yes, I enjoy being a family man and working my outdoor hobbies, with the family and by myself when I can.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming into Studio AOC. I now caught on to why your name of the company may be Reno James Engineering. Mm-hmm. But what is the story that led you to founding Reno James Engineering?
Well, it was started off, it's been around for 20 years. It was founded officially in 2004. And for several years, it was a side project. My middle name is Reno. My grandfather, Reno, was a well-known engineer in New York City. And I had a business partner at the beginning. His middle name was James. And for a number of years, we were in the concrete boom industry. So if you're familiar with like Putzmeister or Schwing type of concrete pumps, we provided engineered repairs for those, safety inspections. And, you know, gradually, you know, I became licensed in Colorado in 2006 as a professional engineer, and the consulting engineering sort of, you know, fed off of that industry and my interest in real estate, and really became Reno James, developed into a consulting engineering firm. I really put it, 2010 is really when I went out and got my own office and set off on my own.
Awesome. So we're going to kick this thing off. We're going to hit you with some big topics today, right? Stuff that is like hot in the news, but also like major challenging stuff to try to overcome. But let's start off right here in Denver, Colorado, around Denver Net Zero. Tell us what's coming about that.
Well, it shouldn't be a surprise, but the city and county of Denver has their ambitious initiative to start reducing both overall energy usage and transitioning away from natural gas.
All right. So that's kind of the context of locally and globally is about this transitioning away from gas and ways and talking around that. So can you give me the pitch? Like, what is the best pitch for why we should electrify our buildings?
The major reason, we're trying to get away from fossil fuels. Clearly and obviously. And the electrification of building, I think this, the ideal vision, utopia, if you will, is you'll have these sources such as, you know, solar and wind are the main renewable energy sources that are just producing pure electricity. So if we can get away from burning natural gas directly in buildings and homes, that will... That is the main incentive of electrifying buildings.
So what sort of incentives are being set in place to accomplish some of these goals?
That's one of the problems from what I see. Obviously you have incentives like, tax credits for electrical cars. From what I'm seeing, and we are at the forefront, unfortunately, with some of these programs, it might be more of a punishment for if you're not hitting, if you document your baseline electricity use, you have to, show reductions in that, or you'll be paying a penalty. So that is how a lot of these jurisdictions appear to be setting up, try to incentivize businesses and property owners to electrify. So a little bit more of the stick than the carrot, I see.
Yeah, a lot to ponder on that one, right? How you handle mm-hmm. the carrot or the stick, or the critical parent or the nurturing parent, or the mm-hmm. incentives versus the force. That's a touchy subject that I'd love to we'll have a great debate probably in the Master Facilitators group about that. But how will the increased regulation affect construction costs and timelines from your perspective around that?
Well. I think I'm not going to sit here and say it's going to be this enormous increase. There's going to be a slight increase in charges, but in cost, I feel. But a lot of this, we'll talk more about heat pumps. I don't feel like there's a premium on heat pumps, but this is not some system that costs, two or three times what it's replacing, like gas-fired furnaces. You get into some, tougher applications like, large-scale, service water heating, boiler systems for large buildings that will be, very expensive, if not really infeasible to electrify.
Yeah. So that's where we're starting to niche in here a little bit as far as, can you talk? So what products do buildings need to switch to? You kind of alluded to that.
Well, one of the big things, heat pumps. This is one of the major drivers that we will, changes we will see. And I'll just kind of use as an example what a lot of people might have in their house, a single family house, a gas-fired furnace, which, you know, paired with an air conditioning unit. And how does it work? In the winter, natural gas is burned in the furnace, and that's how heat is produced. And then, you know, separately in the summer, you have, you know, a condenser and a compressor that, you know, pumps refrigerant, goes through an expansion valve, and, you know, through an evaporator then, and cools the house that way. What we're going to be seeing is, you know, what a heat pump does. An air conditioning system is already half of this heat pump. It is a heat pump system. But when you hear people like me and, you know, tradespeople talking about heat pumps, really the defining feature is it has a reversing valve that basically runs in heating mode the refrigerant in the opposite direction. So it's literally taking heat from the outdoor environment and using that and pumping it in to the indoor environment. And so heating that way through the refrigeration cycle, as opposed to burning natural gas.
I really appreciate that explanation, because I think a lot of people, it's in so many projects, but it's just this assumption, right? And to make the change, it's this minimal upfront cost, but it's the life cycle, right? So can you talk about a little bit more about heat pumps versus gas furnaces? And can you give us some pros and cons of each?
Sure. Well, with the furnace, we've got an existing infrastructure in place right now. Some might say that in many ways, if you're not burning natural gas, what are you going to do with it? But other than that, the other advantage is there aren't any temperature limitations with the operation of a furnace system for all intents and purposes. To start talking about a heat pump system, what are some of the cons? Technology's come a long ways, but low temperature performance, especially in a climate like where we are right now, the Denver, Colorado area, the colder it is outside, the harder it is to pull heat from a cold environment. Like today, it's, I don't know, say 20 degrees outside in Denver. That is a very reasonable temperature to be able to like pull heat from the outdoor environment and pump it into the house or office building that you're trying to heat. As as the temperatures go down, that becomes more and more difficult. But the biggest benefit, if there's one thing to take away, the big benefit with heat pumps, in my professional opinion, is this coefficient of performance. Because what, you know, they're called heat pumps for a reason. They are not, you know, burning energy like a furnace does. They're literally taking this energy from the outdoor environment and pumping it into the indoor during heating mode. Or in the summer, it's taking heat from the indoor environment, pumping it to the outside. With that, you can have with a standard, like, you know, 5-ton residential system, you can have a coefficient of performance. It's usually a little bit above 2. And what that means is if you're putting in 1 kilowatt of power into the system, you're getting over 2 kilowatts of cooling or heating performance. So it's like mechanical advantage. And this is like, you know, a big eye-opening experience for me as an engineer, because sure, you learn about coefficient performance. I remember, looking at electric data on a condensing unit years ago and not quite understanding why, hey, if you have, you know, just call it a 2 kW condenser unit, why you only have to put in 1 kW of power. Mm. And it's because you're transferring the heat. A gas furnace, electric resistive heat, such as an electric range, coefficient of performance is 1. You'll never get better than that. So if that's something for, especially for the naysayers, you have to appreciate that heat pump in heating mode is far more, and you know, proper conditions and so forth, but you're using less energy to produce more heat, plain and simple.
More efficient.
Yep, more efficient. More bang for your buck.
Gotcha. So can you tell us a little bit more about the fundamentals of heat pumps, and you know, really what are they? How do they work? Can you get in a little more context around that?
Sure, I'll try and give you the 30,000 foot overview. And you know, I'll start with what happens with a simple air conditioning system. In an air conditioning system, you have you have a condenser that is rejecting heat from the indoor environment to the outdoor environment. It goes through a compressor. You have the refrigerant liquid pumped into the expansion valve where it goes from liquid to gas. So this is what, you know, a cooling process, just like, you know, sweat on skin, going from liquid to gas, and that produces your cooling. And then it you know, continues on the refrigerant cycle to the condenser where it's rejected outside. This condenser is outside. Now, with a heat pump system, you're pretty much getting rid of these terms evaporator and condenser because each is doing that purpose, but in different seasons. So with the heat, you know, in heating mode, basically the evaporator inside becomes the condenser and is, and giving off heat to the indoor environment and collecting heat from the outdoor environment.
So you've talked about COP. So I want to talk a little bit more about that because I raise my hand and say I've heard it, but I don't, you know, really get it because I'm not in the weeds of this stuff. And that's what we try to kind of niche in. So what is the coefficient of performance or COP and how does it relate to the future of HVAC?
The coefficient of performance is... It is a ratio of the amount of heating or cooling that is being produced by a unit divided by the amount of power that needs to be put into the unit.
Got it.
So, yeah, just I was going to say, if, you know, very simply put, if you have 2 kW of a coefficient of performance of 2 would equate to a unit that's doing 2 kW of heating or cooling with the input of only 1 kW of power. It can seem like you're violating the laws of thermodynamics if you're not remembering that this is basically a pump or conveyor belt. You're not, you know, burning a fuel like you are with natural gas.
So what are some of the new things in the field of heat pump technology?
One of the big things we hear a lot about in Denver is low temperature, getting these systems to work in lower outdoor ambient conditions. Heat pumps have been around for decades. I would say, and where did they start off? In more temperate climates. So, you know, southeast, southwestern United States, perfect applications for heat pumps. But with the earliest heat pumps, I mean, they were limited down to like 30, 40 degrees Fahrenheit. So what you're seeing, one of the big things with technology with heat pumps is getting them to operate in lower conditions. Right now, a lot of manufacturers, it seems like negative 13 degrees Fahrenheit is a point that a lot of manufacturers are getting to for, you know, delivering 100% of their heating rating is all the way down to negative 13 Fahrenheit, a pretty cold temperature.
So what I'm hearing is like places like Colorado, maybe people aren't thinking that they can be used because it's not made for this area, but the technology and the evolution, do you see heat pumps being applied more in buildings in Colorado? And if it's the different temperature, you said it's a no-brainer here, but what expertise is needed to make them work successfully in these type of climates?
Oh, well, you want to select the right units. Usually, and hey, Denver, I feel it's borderline. You take a 50-year, 100-year, cold weather event, and that's well below 13 degrees Fahrenheit. So when we talk about, and this is one of the trade-offs, we are usually talking about backup resistive heat, or you could even have backup, you know, natural gas heating as a system. And maybe that's a good opportunity, a good design approach. If you already have natural gas in a system, hey, we're going to try and use it as little as possible, but we'll, you know, keep it around for these, you know, events. Because we've seen it a couple times in our projects where we've had a big cold snap and heat pumps, the performance can be an issue.
Well, therein lies the hard transition. It's kind of like the shiny object in the news of cars, right? You see people that are just jumping right in, and then the people say, well, how's the maintenance? How do I charge it? How what if I can't get a charge? It's kind of what you're saying. If it gets to this point, do you really need to have both? Do you need to have a gas and electric? And that's the part that I kind of makes me see those picture tracks on the intro that the team kind of teed us up here to talk about as far as what people are running to and what people are challenging. What is VRF technology and what applications is it used for?
VRF is variable refrigerant flow technology. And basically, this applies to new class of HVAC systems that are utilizing both the refrigerant on, cooling and heating applications at the same time. That is sort of like the ideal use of a VRF, in my opinion. If you have a situation where you might have an apartment building here in Denver, in the morning, the east side of the building, the sun is coming up, and during shoulder seasons, the east side units might be calling for cooling, whereas the west side units are still in the shadows and calling for heating. What VRF can do is literally just pump the heat from the east side in the morning to the west side to cool the east side.
Wait, it's not the same temperature everywhere? It fascinates me as a guy that owns a window and door company, mm-hmm. how you have to like sometime paint the picture of like what condensation is and what is, if the sun doesn't hit this side of the house, like the sunrise and the sunset, right? That's where,
yeah, absolutely.
I'm kind of just making a pun to joke to say this stuff is serious stuff, but you have to break it down to the art of construction, the art of the science of variant control, right? And that's this variant refrigerate flow that I haven't heard that term. So I wanted to get some context around that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And like these VRF systems, in many ways, you have, the line sets, that is pumping this refrigerant, replacing ductwork in buildings. So VRF systems, I mentioned the apartment building, as an example, you might have one outdoor unit that is, powering 8 or 12,
sure,
apartment units or different terminal units and apartment units.
Yeah.
And it gives you very good zone control per apartment. So, each unit gets its own thermostat. And then when you have heat cut recovery, which is what I alluded to, you can have these very efficient systems.
Got it.
Can heat and cool at the same time. That's another big thing, as opposed to like a two pipe system.
Sure.
Or if you just have like one air handling unit serving multiple units.
Got it. So, kind of a head on question, hot in the news. What's your take for the future when it comes to gas furnaces, ranges, gas water heaters, or maybe even gas fireplaces?
I think they're going to be around for a while, but they are on their way out. I feel some, we talked about, small residential systems replacing with heat pumps. I think you're going to see furnaces in single family homes, trending out. And certainly jurisdictions that as we've already covered are going to be incentivizing and pushing people to get away from furnaces. I think it's going to be a lot harder to transition away from, large, like commercial cooking, like if you're talking about large, restaurants, kitchens, commissaries, it's, the electric versus gas range debate is a big one in homes, but for commercial cooking, they're going to be one of the last to adopt. Same with, large boiler systems present in a lot of large commercial buildings.
Yeah, I guess the question I have to ask is like you're hearing about the race to electricity, but with commercial buildings and everything moving towards electric and away from gas, how are we going to provide all this energy that way?
What you got to do, Devin, is direct all that natural gas to more power plants to produce this electricity. It's what's going to probably be required in the short term. So that is something that needs to be considered when you talk about, hey, if everybody's going to adopt, transition to electric car or electric ranges, electric usage per capita is only going to be increasing. So while I, largely support a lot of this, this trend, we got to realize, at least in the short term, we're going to be probably building more power plants, natural gas. I'm a proponent of nuclear power. That would seem to be a good power source that is underutilized in this country.
I really do appreciate your perspectives, right? Of like, it's not one way or the other, but you have to look at different ratios and scenarios mm-hmm. of like how we're actually taking care of the art and the construction of this place that we're all trying to take care of. This is the earth of how do we do all this stuff, right? And if I'm hearing the big thing from you, it's really understanding heat pumps and existing or new construction. If you've just always just plug and play your gas water heater, your gas this, you should look at alternatives is really the big thing. And the heat pumps is one of those that you found that really is a great bang for your buck.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So as we close this thing out, tell us a little bit more about your company day to day here in Colorado. What do you guys do? Obviously, heat pumps is something you guys probably, if you have questions in Colorado.
Ooh, yeah. We don't see heat pumps as much as we will in the future. But on occasion, I know we've got a job in Amarillo, Texas, and we were kind of surprised to see one of the existing RTUs on that building. What was a heat pump RTU? Something that is still, you know, very rare in Denver. Perhaps, you know, Amarillo's a little bit of a warmer climate slightly than here. So
you guys cover a pretty big geographic area then.
We do. We're licensed in about 20 states and we get around. So keeps it interesting. But yes, the bulk of our business is in Colorado.
Awesome.
So yeah, we're consulting engineers. We design office buildings, industrial facilities, restaurants, multifamily. Boutique engineering firm is a decent way to describe us.
Awesome. We'll make sure to put links in the show notes. As we close out these questions, we always ask, what is your crystal ball for the future when it comes to technology in construction?
Well, you know, going on along with what we've been talking about today, shoot, we've talked a lot about heat pumps. We're going to be seeing that. Obviously, car charging stations, this transition to EV, you're going to see a lot more. We're seeing it in terms of people trying to do commercial cooking on electric devices. You're going to see electrical services increasing in size. I think you're going to see per capita electricity consumption increase greatly. I think you're going to have to meet this demand by building more power plants. I think we're going to continue to have issues with the grid, and you're going to see more gensets being installed, backup electrical power, both on businesses and residences, just because of the strain on the grid that we're already seeing and experiencing in this country.
Awesome. So as we close this thing out, what is that one thing you want to leave our builders and affiliates to think about to go out there and crush it and grow their business?
Well, along the lines of the heat pumps, I guess, you know, it's specific to, HVAC installers and electricians. This is all these changes we've talked about today. This is going to benefit you. It's really, this transition is going to benefit engineers like us. You're going to see the, technology changing in the HVAC world to these heat pumps. You're going to have to see the electrical infrastructure have to be upsized and increased and bolstered considerably. And you're going to need engineers like myself to oversee and manage this whole process.
Well, it sounds like you're going to be growing based on how the market conditions are putting out there in a good way, right? Because as I close this thing out, a few things that I just want to recap for you is that there's no doubt that the overall use of natural gas, there's a paradigm shift happening. And whether you like it or not, you better be paying attention to that, right? And you got to run to this and figure out how can this not be a punishment, but an incentive for both you and the global economy as we're trying to figure this out. And as you referenced, heat pumps are a major driver that you can look into if you have not experienced that before and get with an engineer and ask those questions to understand how can we engineer this thing differently. And understanding things like the coefficient of performance and understanding how the variant refrigerant flow may work. And that's the part of Trav, the thing is about this whole deal is like my statement I always talk about is you don't know what you don't know, and boy, you're jaded by what you think you know. And as a guy that's been in 25 years working with people on selling glass on all different types of products, it's fascinating. Every time we bring a different trust advisor into the program at my window and door company, how much they come in of what they know and what we don't know and vice versa. But at the end of the day, it's all about lifelong learners pushing this thing forward, right? So we have to figure out to say, how can we understand electric consumption? Because it's going to increase. And that's the part that makes if kind of scary if you're not paying attention, because there's already grid issues like you talked about. And the trade-offs is we better figure out how to work smarter, not harder with that kind of stuff and use less to get more out of it. And maybe we do the part that really makes me think of we don't want more power plants, but we need more power. Well, we better figure out something with this whole thing to put that all together and figure out how the grid can be maximized, right? And maybe rethink a lot of things of solar this and technology that. And that's what we're always talking about on these different podcasts. So thank you so much for coming in and sharing your story. Any final thoughts you want to leave out there?
I think I'm pretty good. Coefficient of performance, I'd recommend you look on into if you're unsold on heat pumps.
Awesome. Well, we'll put links down in the show notes. Thanks so much for coming in and telling your story.
Thank you.